There it is. Thank you, Father. God is so good to us. Amen. Amen. This is the body ministering one to another. And really, you know, I started to go down the path of, do I do the Thanksgiving thing, or can somebody hit the lights back here, just those couple, the two black switches there? That'll work. Do you just go down that path, or Holy Spirit, do you have something else for us today? And you know, we've been in this series where we've been talking about keeping the fan, you know, keeping the flame hot, keeping it burning. We looked at a couple different things in relationship to that. We looked at prayer. That first week was just awesome, and there was just such a powerful witness of Holy Spirit as He just came and gently reminded us of the cross and the agony of Jesus as He, in His last dying moments, even in that, He was praying. And then we had Teen Challenge come. And as Teen Challenge ministered to us, there was such a powerful witness of again. There was almost this intensifying of the Holy Spirit that was taking place. And on that day, we actually had some people that really got serious with their relationship with Jesus. And we had somebody who really almost a year ago was a self-proclaimed agnostic, and she came to know Jesus that morning. And then after that, we've had a couple of attempts at bringing the Word of God truths. We've looked at a lot of that. We've looked at the benefits of His Word. And we know the one thing that seemed to come out and highlight last week, because I love it. You know, it's like you're going down this way, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes a little detour. And one of the things that He spoke to us was in relation to the Word of God. When it goes forth, it will always accomplish what it went out to accomplish. It's not going to return void. It's not going to return empty. And that seemed to be the word that came last week. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit highlighted was in relation to our prodigals, was in relation to our children, was in relation to those who really are not even serving God right now, or even have a thought of God right now. And we saw how Holy Spirit just said He's married to the backslider. So friend, be encouraged if you're a mom here, or a dad here, if you're praying for somebody, maybe it's a neighbor kid, maybe it's somebody that you're just believing for. God is married to the backslider. Pray the Word of God into these situations, you see. See, the Word of God is the thing that renews our mind, because if you really think about it, when we start to listen to the voice of reason of the world, it's going to pollute everything that the Word of God is speaking to us. That's why we have to be on the offensive with the Word of God. I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm talking about being on the offensive, okay? And we need to understand that it renews my mind as I read it. It washes my mind. It gets rid of the stinking thinking that is in there, you see? And it brings correction, and it trains me, and it trains you for righteousness. The Word of God, it sanctifies, and it heals. And again, it accomplishes the mission of heaven, which we know is seeing people get saved. See, the Word of God went forth here this morning, just in Rosie's testimony. Rosie spoke the Word of God forth. Today is the day of salvation. Friends, that's the Word of God. That's His Word. It's alive. That's why when we hear it, we know it goes in, and we say amen to that thing, because it's right. But I want to tell you something. There's been something happening amongst us, and I'm very grateful for this, and I'm grateful for you as a congregation, because there's been an increasing of God's beautiful, wonderful presence amongst us. And it's not just being relegated to the four walls of the church. I'm getting reports of some of our small groups where the Holy Spirit is just beginning to pour out in living rooms around the city where they're meeting. And I know that people are being touched, and the gifts are being sparked and renewed and brought forth, which is wonderful. We've had some divine interruptions in our services. We've had some prophetic words that came forth a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit just highlighted the importance and the priority of sitting at His feet. He brought forth the whole message of Mary and Martha. And yes, we need to be busy and doing things with excellence, but not at the expense of sitting at Jesus' feet. We've had some beautiful tongues and interpretations that have come forth. And I'm glad that you mentioned that this morning. And everything has to be done decently and in order. You see, the Bible tells us that when we are together, and I'm not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that everybody can have. It's a beautiful thing. But I'm talking about when we gather together as in a worship service. The Bible tells us that one will have a tongue, but in order for that tongue to benefit the body, there needs to be one there that interprets that tongue, you see? And it says one will have a tongue, another will interpret. So the tongue came forth, and then there was a beautiful interpretation that came forth. And we're seeing a rise of that, and we don't need to be afraid of that. I know sometimes, you know, it's the first time you're in a Pentecostal church, you might say, oh boy, that's a little weird. I don't know what that's all about. But the reality is, you know there's something right about it. And we've all been in those places where it lifts the service and it makes it into something beautiful and wonderful. And then we've had testimonies of healing and deliverance and restored hope and people that are in the journey, like Kelly, she's in the journey, okay? Like Randy, he's in the journey. He has prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for 30 plus years. And I know, Mom, you have prayed and prayed and prayed with him and believed that he would have a brand new heart. And church, we need to continue to pray that God would give him a new heart. What most people don't realize is that he has one valve that doesn't even work at all. He's a walking miracle. And he doesn't make excuses for the kingdom of God. Heck, he's still got 8 kids and he brings them to church. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. But see, God is desiring to do the more amongst us. We heard it said, God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or even think of. The most we can even think of, God can do more. He wants to do the more amongst us. And I believe that the reality of what we're beginning to see, we're just getting a taste, friends, but I believe that it's in response to the hunger level of the people that is beginning to rise, you see. There is something that is in our hearts that's saying, I've had enough of the bad reports. I've had enough of the political arena. How many of you had enough of that? I mean, it's just garbage, okay? Turn it off. Read something good. Read the Word of God. Listen to something positive. I'm not talking that we bury our heads in the sand. But friends, if you think that's going to bring you hope, oh my goodness, that'll bring you down like nothing else will. We need Jesus. And as the hunger level rises amongst us, we are going to see more and more of His manifestation come forth. See, I believe this, that the hunger level will continue to rise. But it's only going to rise as you and I detach ourselves from the things of this world. See, the world system wants nothing to do with the things of God. Here's a brief excerpt from what's called the Forerunner Commentary. I found this and I thought this was really good. And it was a Bible verse about Satan as the ruler of this world. Because John 14:30, Jesus Himself declares that He is. Now, He has boundaries, but He has been given authority in this world. Listen to this. Satan's power is over all nations of the earth. That could be very frightening when we realize he can influence men in such a way that they are not even aware that they are being influenced toward evil. His power is so extensive that he is over all the nations. Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. He affects people's attitudes by moving our reasoning processes towards satisfaction of self It's all about me, myself, and I. We've talked about that. The narcissism that exists in our culture and in our society. Here is what is so perverse about this. It is not evil for any of us to take care of ourselves. But what is evil is to make the satisfaction of ourselves more important than the satisfaction of God and others. Do you hear what I said there? It's not evil for us to take care of ourselves, is it? But what is evil is to make the satisfaction of self more important than God and others. We are to serve God, okay? We are called to serve God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and all yourselves. And then the second commandment that we are given of equal importance is to love your neighbor as yourselves. Nowhere are you and I given the right or privilege by God to make ourselves greater than or more important than God or other human beings. The playing field is level, friends, when it comes to Jesus. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank. It has nothing to do with what kind of vehicle that you drive. All you got to do is take a quick look out there and look at my beautiful 2001 Chevy pickup with a nice big old dent in the back. Hallelujah! That's not what it's about. The playing field is level when it comes to the church. That's why we don't show partiality to people in the church. You don't have assigned seats in here, right? I realize we probably have some invisible name tags out there, all right? But you know what I'm saying. If somebody comes in and they're sitting in your seat, are you going to get all bent out of shape? Or are you going to say, thank God you're here today. God bless you. And then you can turn around and ask for forgiveness. For lying. But as we conquer this internal war that's inside of us, it's a war of our flesh, we're going to see an increase in our appetite for the things of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I want to see, I want to come every week and have a strong appetite for the things of the Spirit. I don't want to have an appetite of just doing church and marching through some program or some religious thing that we do. Bottom line is, I want Holy Spirit to be able to have His house like He did today. Wasn't it beautiful how you could just be sitting over here and we as a worship team collectively in a congregation were singing praises to heaven and Holy Spirit just begins to just hover and speak, and then all of a sudden He places in my heart, there's people here who are depressed today and they want to be set free. There's people here that are ready to give testimony and kick the devil in the teeth once and for all and not hide behind this thing. And I'm going to tell you, when Holy Spirit has charge, it doesn't always look like we want it to look. Sometimes it can get a little messy, okay? But God is perfectly comfortable in that environment. He's not always comfortable with what we think He's comfortable with. I think He will challenge all of us at times. He's the same God that spit on the ground, picked it up and made some mud and rubbed it in somebody's eyes and they were healed. You think that would have blown somebody away? As I've said before, we're not going to have a resurgence of the spitting revival, all right? We don't need that. But what I'm saying is are we going to be obedient and allow Holy Spirit to have His church? Listen to what Psalm 42 says. I'm going to bring it in for a landing here. That's your cue, Justin. Praise the Lord. There's a deep part of us that cries out for the deep part of God. Deep cries out to deep. Listen to what Psalm 42 says. It's a familiar one. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. And just like water is needed for our lives physically, God's presence is essential for our spiritual lives. There should be something inside of every one of us, every one of us that names themselves a believer. There should be a hunger and a thirst for God. It's by His grace, friends. There should be a thirst for His blessings and for His supernatural presence to be amongst us. Just because we don't always see it just immediately in our time frames, friends, doesn't mean that He doesn't want to pour it out. Sometimes it comes as we wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it comes as we pray through, as we actually give Him time and we make Him the priority of the day, as we make Jesus the guest of honor. Sometimes we think it's all about us. But friends, we are creating an atmosphere when we come in here that says, Lord, we want You to come in, or we do not. We can stand with our fist in His face, or we can stand with arms wide open, saying, Jesus, come, come, come. I hunger and I thirst for You. See, God always responds to hunger. He gave me that many years ago. I was a young Christian, and I would see people in church. And sometimes there would be people, it was obvious that the Holy Spirit was really touching them. And then there was people that just sat there and they were just stonewalled. And I'm not saying that there couldn't be something going on, but friends, you know when something's going on. And they just sit there and they're checked out and they just can't even wait to get out. And sometimes I just wanted to shake them and say, why do you even come? And I realized in that moment, there was a difference. There was people who would come and they're hungry for more of God. And there's people that would come and they're just checking off their duty. I don't want to just check off a task. I don't want to just check off and say I went to church this week and feel better about myself. I want to come because I want more of God. I want to come because the body of Christ is there and I love my brothers and sisters and I can't wait to hear the reports that are going on. I can't wait to hear what Spirit of God is just breathing inside of you and you can stand up and testify and you can just give God glory for setting you free from depression or initiating the journey or saving your life or whatever it was that we heard today. God always responds to hunger. And as we continue this journey, I feel God is asking us some tough questions, friends. Do we thirst and yearn for God? Even when there is a delay. Whew, it's tough. I pray and there's a delay. Randy's been in a delay for 30 plus years. But he's still standing. And I don't say that to lift Randy up, and he knows that. But it's a good example to follow, friends, to not give up. Does it mean that he's never had depression? No, he has. He's gone through all kinds of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, he's never quit believing, and he's never quit trusting. God wants to do the immeasurably more. So are we going to allow to awaken our hunger? Are we going to allow Him to, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of a dry season when it just seems like nothing's going on, are we going to still press in and yearn for God? Or will we become offended? Will we become distant and cold toward the deeper things of God? Oh yeah, I've heard all about that. The river of God, right? Yeah. the river of God. You see, the latter part of what we just said there, when we grow cold, it's a certain pathway to death spiritually. But as we yield and let the Spirit of God have control, we will see something beautiful happen. And not just the gifts, but we will see the weighty presence. We will see the kabod of God. The weighty presence once again fill the temple of God. Friends, in the Old Testament, we knew when Solomon's temple was dedicated unto the Lord, it said that the Spirit of God came in, and it came and descended like a cloud, and the whole place was filled with smoke that the priests couldn't even stand to minister, friends. How much more in the new covenant with Christ on the inside of us, when we are full of the Spirit of God, how much more so will the glory of God radiate from the bride of Christ? We were never meant to live without God's glory. We were never meant to live without God's glory. Listen to this beautiful quote by Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets is a prayer warrior. He wrote the book, The Intercessor, I believe. The Lord is saying, if you will learn to wait on me in these days, if you will trust patiently, expectantly in becoming one with me, I will come with the weight of my glory. Hallelujah. I am coming to awaken cities. I am coming to awaken regions. And I will cause my weighty Shekinah, abiding glory, to dwell among you and within you. Just as Adam was crowned with my glory and saturated in my presence, bearing my image and likeness, so too will I crown you with my glory. Pastor, why is this so important? Because God's church was never intended to operate without His glory. Never. Our walks should be immersed in His glory. Our gatherings need to be filled with the beautiful ocean of His presence. When people come in, or when they even just go by the property, there's something that just draws them in. And when they step on the property, ooh, what's that? Hallelujah. When they come in and they're amongst the people of God, and when they run into you in the grocery store and you shake their hand and they just go, wow, there's something different about you. Why are you always so happy? And it's not always just a friendly smile in every aisle. It's the glory of God. Friends, I hope and pray church never becomes a duty to you. I hope that it's always a privilege. You see, it's a privilege when we realize what Jesus did for us. And we have a deep revelation. I'm talking about when you really understand that you had a death sentence hanging over you. And He took your place. Whew. As we have said, every generation is looking for purpose and clarity. They're looking for fulfillment in life. But churches everywhere, it breaks my heart. They dish up the latest and the greatest, and that's fine. We need to stay current. But they forget the most important ingredient in all of it, the glory of God. See, Solomon's temple was extravagant, wasn't it? It was beautiful if you read about it, the gold and the silver and all everything, all the entrapments that were with it. It was incredible. You would have looked at it and said, but it wasn't finished. It wasn't complete. Until they prayed and they asked God's abiding presence to come, and the temple was filled with the glory of God. Friends, you can facelift your house, you can facelift the church, you can do whatever you want, but if we don't pray and ask God to fill the temple with His very glory, then we've missed it all. We must have, and we must continue to contend for God's glory and God's presence. Let us not be a church that ever, ever, ever offers just a man-made product. You can get that anywhere. And the world offers it all over. But there's a hallmark trait of the church that should never be compromised. And that is God's presence is there. God's glory is there. I don't care how many songs you sing, whether it's a hymn or whether it's a current song. It doesn't matter, friends. You can sing them all and not have God's glory. But I tell you, you cannot sing at all. And you can walk into where the presence of God is. And you can be set free in an instant. Hallelujah. We were created to live for something greater than ourselves. We were not created for self. Praise the Lord. We are called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Hallelujah. Amen to that. Woo! I'm going to close with this. Let's stand. And we are going to still take up an offering. I haven't forgotten that. Hallelujah. In Matthew 4, Jesus was confronted by Satan. And Jesus was confronted in three areas: the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. And every time the enemy would come to him, and Jesus would say, he'd combat him with the word of God. He'd bring truth. He'd say that man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He said that do not put the Lord your God to the test. And he said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, what the devil forgot was this. Man, what the devil forgot was this. Jesus didn't have the same nature that you and I have. You and I have Adam's nature. That's the lineage that sin resides in. That's a bloodline that sin is in. Jesus did not have Adam's nature. Do you understand that? He was tempted in these three areas just like you and I were. But he didn't have that nature that would give in to it. His father was Holy Spirit. He had a different bloodline. See, Jesus was the pure, spotless, holy Lamb of God. There wasn't a person alive that could ever say that because we're all from the lineage of Adam. That's why we need the second Adam to redeem us. Jesus was the second Adam. John on the banks of the Jordan. And he was baptizing. And his disciples were with him. And he was talking about the one who would come after him. And not only would he baptize them with water, but he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He even said, I'm not even worthy to walk in the same sandals or whatever it was that it says there. You know what I'm talking about. But the bottom line is he will come and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then the day came when Jesus came to the banks of the Jordan and he's talking amongst them and he pointed at Jesus. He said, right there, right there, right there. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Could you imagine what that moment would have been like? The Holy Spirit came down and remained upon him. And heaven opened up and said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And today, I declare to you the same message. I have seen And I testify that Jesus, He's the chosen one. He is the Messiah. And just as John stood on those banks of the Jordan, I stand at 200 Stonegate Drive in Canton, Illinois, 2,000 years later, and I declare to you that Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, and He will give you an abundant life. The Bible tells us very clearly that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives you for everything as far as the east is from the west. Jesus is the very Son of God whom was prophesied, over 300 prophecies He fulfilled. Jesus, Him alone. Isn't that an awesome thought, church? So listen. I get myself into these situations now. I got you all standing here, and I'm just like, okay, what are we going to do? Can we just, for a moment, just revere the Lord in our hearts? Can we just recognize who He is, the pure, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who took away your sin, who took no record of wrong. Thank you, Jesus. We recognize you for who you are. It just seems so unfitting, God's, what I can bring you, but Lord, all you ask is that I give you my heart. So today, Jesus, we collectively in this sanctuary, we give you our hearts and we yield to you, Holy Spirit. We say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And like the scriptures say, we confess, God, that we are sinners. And we confess that we have sinned, and we ask you, Jesus, to forgive us of our sins. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cleanse us from all the unrighteousness of sin in our lives. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us to overflowing. And will you join me, church, in just believing and just praying that God will once again fill His temple with His glory? Could you just lift your voice for a moment with me? And just say, God, we want more of you. We want your glory to be upon the church again, Lord God. We want your glory, God, to be a hallmark of our lives again, Jesus. We don't want to have church without it, Lord. We want your presence, God. We want to go deeper with you today, Jesus. I pray, God, that all the gifts would flourish. I pray for the prophetic. I pray for healing and words of knowledge, for tongues, interpretations. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would be welcome here. But I pray that more than any of that, that your love, God, would permeate this place. I pray that your love would abound here, Lord God. And I pray that you would set the captives free. God, I pray for your glory to come again. Oh God, send the glory. Send the glory on your bride again, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, we need you. We desperately need you, God. Hallelujah. We lift you up and we give you glory and we give you praise today, Jesus. Father, you're a comforter. You chase us down no matter where we go, Lord. Thank you for that. You leave the 99. You go after the one, Lord. Whew. You go to places we can't. But God, we declare today that we will live for you. We declare and testify this day that you, Jesus, you are the chosen one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.